You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and we've got a great show for you. Our friend Christina was going to join us, and she actually fell sick there at the last minute. It's not COVID. We know what's going on. It's not COVID. She actually was going to go battle Black. What's his name? Kyrgyzstan? This Wookiee that we've got in the new Boba Fett series that we first met here on the show when we were talking about the Darth Vader comic book series. We'll talk a little bit about the new Book of Boba Fett episode 3. We're going to be talking a little bit about that new Peacemaker show on HBO Max. We're going to be talking about a whole lot of geeky stuff on this episode of Geekscape. So I'm really glad you're there. Katie's going to be joining us, and we're going to be joined now by my good friend Garrett Briones, who, if you are a subscriber to the Geekscape YouTube channel, which you should be, he did a fantastic video on The Matrix. So go check it out. Not right now. No, you stay right there and you watch this if you're watching live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook. Stay right where you are, but check that video out later. You really should be subscribing to the Geekscape TV YouTube page. If you are a subscriber to the podcast, I'm going to take a moment real quick to tell you to go ahead and pat yourself on the back, because just found out today we are number 47 in film interview podcasts, and the numbers could not be any better right now. When I first started Geekscape 15 years ago, it was really easy to get great numbers up on the charts. It was, you know, there weren't a whole lot of podcasts, but now in 2022, everybody listening to the show has a podcast. And to be able to like climb the charts and gather numbers and get people in on the Geekscape, the mainstream show, is just awesome. So I found out today that we are at number 47 on film interview podcasts. That means a lot to me. Those are the episodes I really enjoy the most. Not that I don't enjoy the news and reviews episodes of the episodes with Ian. We have those coming up. But I do like meeting filmmakers, and I do like meeting storytellers and finding out why they tell stories. So if you missed last week's episode with the producers of Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man, please go watch that episode or go listen to that episode, because I thought it was a great episode and the numbers reflect it. We had great numbers on that one. But this episode you're about to get, this one right here, is like the episodes that started it all. Some news, some reviews, telling you about some movies, video games, and comics maybe you've never heard about. And you're like, oh, I should be watching that TV show that I heard about on Geekscape. Don't worry. We got your back. We've had your back for a long time, 15 years, and we're going to keep having your back. So with that, I'd like to also show you video streamers who are watching this our brand new opening credits. Let's roll it. Hey, welcome to a brand new Geekscape. I'm Jonathan. It just said that in the theme song. And yes, we are your 47th ranked in the U.S. film interview podcast. But that's not all we do. We talk movies, video games, comic books, all that good stuff. And we're going to be talking that on the show today. So, I let one of my producers know, hey, we're 47th in the US right now. And he said, let's get you to 30. So we can only do that with your help, Geekscape. If you're listening to this right now, write us a review, whatever podcatcher you're on, hit a share button, send it to your friends and be like, you should be listening to this podcast. It's awesome. Maybe we'll do something awesome if we crack the top 30. Who knows? But it does help us get better guests. It does help us open up sponsorship opportunities, things like that. And we're just going to feed all that stuff right back to you. So if you want to help improve Geekscape, yeah, help us out. Hit that share button. All right. One big improvement we made in the last 2 years was the addition of a co-host. That's right. She's right here. Her name's Katie. You love her. I love her. Here she is.
We're 47th. We're 47th.
You know what? Like,
pretty cool.
I showed you how far we leapfrogged in the last month, and I was like, yeah. Okay, like that is the work we've been doing, because yeah. We did a lot of work in December. We did, you know, we were loud.
Yeah. There was a lot going on.
Results. Yeah. There's a lot going on. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Just saying. Let's keep it going.
I know. I'm so excited for the future. Like, there's so many things that like we're not even talking about just yet, but it's just like there's some good stuff coming, and I'm having a fun time. Having a real fun time.
Yeah. Katie, you've been okay? Like, I've been reading this stuff on the Twitter, not that you can trust the Twitter, but your internet.
Oh my God, it's been
like
such
all
a
weekend. Geekscapists, if you don't know this, Katie makes her like living hosting gigs on the internet for different, you know, she's like hosting games. She's a host. And she needs the pandemic to be able to do these digital. I mean, she doesn't need the pandemic. She needs,
nobody needs the pandemic.
Internet. No, nobody needs the pandemic.
Yes.
During the pandemic, she's needed the internet to work so she could do her job. And I see you and Mark Harmon, your fiance.
Mark Harmon.
Hosting.
Hampton.
Mark Hampton, my bad. Mark Harmon, though. Mark Harmon.
I was like,
Mark Harmon, like, you know, Mark Harmon, wasn't he on those TV shows back in like the 80s, 90s? Oh, he was in After School or something.
I'm
like
only
that.
Thinking of Dan Harmon at the moment. So,
no, Mark Harmon. No, I'm here. I'm going to IMDb.
Oh,
Mark
boy,
Harmon's
here
a
we
thing.
Go.
No. Mark Harmon. Like, you recognize Mark Harmon.
My fiance's last name.
Well, he can stay right out of this conversation. Mark Harmon Mark Harmon was like in NCIS.
Oh, got it.
He was in Freaky Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who Mark Harmon is. Don't lie to me, Katie.
I do. Mark I do. Harmon. Now that you reminded me, yeah. But I could only think of Dan Harmon. I was like,
okay,
I could
okay,
get with
here
Community.
Here we go. Let's do this, Katie.
Okay.
You and Mark Hampton
yes.
Walked out of the internet.
We were.
Here's a picture. If you're watching this, here's a picture of Mark Hampton. Or Harmon.
Harmon.
That's, that's Mark Harmon.
That's not my fiance.
That's Mark Harmon. All right. So let's say you and Mark Hampton are out and Mark Harmon comes over to you and does like indecent proposal. Okay. What do you do?
I won't pass
he
on
comes
that.
Over.
I'm so sorry.
Well, no. What, okay. Listen, considering you're hosting games on the internet for money, if he says,
God, that does sound so salacious, doesn't it?
What if Mark Harmon goes to Mark Hampton, Mark Harmon of After School NCIS goes to Mark Hampton, your fiance,
and Freaky Friday,
and go in Freaky Friday, and he goes $1 million.
Mark could definitely go for it.
What if he comes to you and he's eyeing up Mark Hampton and he wants to do a double ham sandwich?
Listen,
a hard ham sandwich. What if he comes to you and he offers you $1 million for that indecent proposal? What do you
think? That's what I'm saying. If it was cool with Mark, then it's cool with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad, Katie.
I mean, $1 million more ain't bad. It ain't bad. No. It's a lot further than I am right now. We'll just say that. apparently my name popped up on like, wait, how rich are they.com or some bullshit.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm a millionaire Instagram star who's 22. And I was like, that's right. Yep. That's me.
Yeah. Jim Paganelli, you know, he's one of the most loyal Geekscapists, and I love him dearly. He said, Katie, congratulations on your engagement to the star of NCIS and summer school.
No.
It's summer school, not after school. It is summer school.
And Freaky Friday.
I think Mark Harmon is going to put Katie in his harem.
Ooh.
What do you think of that?
Yes, I like that.
And Bolt T, Matt Kelly, this one's for you. He wants to know, can we get a Why We Love Summer School video?
Ooh.
What if we can get Mark Harmon
to
on
do
the show
oh
to be with Katie on the show and maybe invite Mark Hampton to do an indecent proposal.
I would love for that.
We're not putting to these be words in Mark Harmon's word. Mark Harmon's somewhere just being
innocently being himself.
He's innocently like acting. He's trying to remember his lines for a set in the morning. He's just being a family man. And these dingbats over here on the internet are making fun. Mark Harmon, if you're listening to this,
none of him.
I think we're now going to absolutely try and get you on the show. We love you. We have a big summer school fan base, and let's work on Mark Harmon coming on the show.
Let's do it. I'm so in.
I haven't watched one episode of NCIS. I don't know what that is.
I think I maybe caught some when I was flipping through channels a couple times. Yeah. I had friends who were very into it. They knew like
really
all the
how old were they? Grandma,
they
you
were,
fell asleep again.
They were younger
that's
than
when
me.
I saw it. Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding you. Yeah, it was like underclassmen of my college. I don't know. It's who knows why. Probably.
How many of those people became undertakers? Like, wait, how exciting? I don't know how exciting that show is.
They just watched. They would binge watch it. It was just like it was on, so they would like get into it, and they would like have like little parties where they would just watch it. And I was like, I don't know. And then there was also the people that were doing like the Jane Austen binge watching. It was like there wasn't
quite
a place.
That's a binge reading. Jane Austen's
no,
a binge reading.
Like binge, like the like Jane Austen movies. So like all the Pride and Prejudice, The Sense and Sensibility. No, I know. I learned how to crochet at those, group. But
I would join that group and I would show up in character.
You'd be surprised at how many people would be right there with you.
I'd show up with a lace fan. I'd have a merkin. I would do the whole thing. What?
Why would you have a merkin?
It's of the time. It's to like get make sure the lice. I don't know. It's a merkin. It's Jane Austen. So
do you know?
But wasn't that like a stinky time for people? Isn't that like a pretty stinky time, the Jane Austen times? And everybody's like trying to seduce each other, and they're like, "Oh, what romance?" It's like romance.
Am I wrong here? I feel like I
need to put
Google
on some
this.
Perfume and deodorant. I was in those Jane Austen things, I think you need to have a shower every hour.
You know what a merkin is? Because I feel like I'm thinking of a totally different thing, and I don't know. If we're
it's
on
like
the same
a
page.
Beaver pelt. It's like a beaver pelt that you put on your stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. You put it on there to draw the lice off, and then you burn it.
Okay. I know it for its uses in porn, not in olden times.
Oh, no. Olden times. The original merkin. Jonathan doesn't know what a merkin is, I think. Jim, tell us what a merkin is in the comments. If you can, I'll throw it up on the screen. I would. This is what I would do. Okay. And if I joined your Jane Austen group. Your Jane Austen, I would do this.
I don't
Mark
know why
Harmon
it's mine.
Would be there. We'd all be sitting there with our tea and our... I mean, you know, we're talking about the young gentlemen and stuff like that. It would just smell bad. It would smell bad. You know, their teeth weren't good.
No, they were not.
You know, but now when we think of the Jane Austen stuff, we're like, ooh, how romantic.
No, I don't.
I gotta tell you.
I'm sorry.
Their skin, their teeth, everything must have been so nasty. They probably looked like the Crypt Keeper, but it was the best they had. It was the best around.
The room. They were airing out a toot.
You'd need to air out because you haven't had a shower in 2 days. Not without some rat swimming in your water.
I feel like you and I are not Jane Austen's audience. I really don't think we are.
Okay. Jim Palaganelli, to my credit, he's back. And he said, okay, Jonathan got the general description right. But the idea that it was used to get rid of scabies isn't one I've heard
before.
He said lice. I said lice. And maybe
you may have said scabies at one point.
No. But
no
listen,
way to
Jim,
rewind.
It is a fake pubic area.
Yeah, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I only know it within the porn realm. I did not know it about ye olden merkin.
Oh, it's a historical thing.
I didn't realize that.
Merkin is a historical thing. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes absolutely.
At the college, they taught the Jane Austen, but they didn't teach merkins. What kind of history is that? That's critical merkin history right there. They're being very selective about the history they had. That's critical pubic theory.
Oh.
Not critical to the race theory. They're carving out the parts that they want you to not learn about.
You know that's
going to... We need to teach... Not only do we need to teach critical race theory in this country, we need to teach critical sex ed theory in this country,
honestly,
too.
Honestly, I think that'd be great. I think the more people learn about things, like, the less weirded out and the less weird people get.
Oh, yeah. David Wilt, he just said, hey, merkin sounds like Merlin.
Can. It can.
Does. Yeah, it's one difference. And you know what? If you put on a merkin and you have lice down there,
let us know.
Climb onto the merkin and you throw it in the fire and they disappear like magic.
So I can see where very much it's like Merlin. Lice.
But.
Down south.
It was the, you know, those Jane Austen era. There was everybody had lice. Everybody had lice and STDs.
Everybody itchy.
And welts and stuff. Like, they don't shower. They don't bathe. It's Jane Austen time. But then you watch some movie and people are like, ooh, to do. Oh, so nice. And of course, they have perfume everywhere. They smell horrid. They all smelled like hobos. No offense. But like everybody in those Jane Austen things. I'm just glad those Jane Austen movies aren't like in Smell-O-Vision or something. Because you know they'd be like, oh yeah, they should smell like perfumiers. No, they shouldn't. They should smell like homeless people. No offense. But like, they should smell like people who haven't bathed. Because that's the era.
Yeah.
Nothing romantic about it. Nothing romantic about it.
Not at all.
I would slap somebody across the face to start a duel in the hopes they'd kill me. It would smell so bad. That's the way that would go down.
Oh, it'd be great for a new podcast. Smell up.
Yeah, past. Well. Well, Bolt T has an idea. He says, a new podcast, Critical Sex Ed Theory. Let's start it up. I probably shouldn't be teaching it. All right. Speaking of things I probably shouldn't be qualified to teach, our friend today who's joining us, he is a new person to the Geekscape. He actually hosted a video already on Geekscape TV on our YouTube channel all about The Matrix. And he started out his relationship with me as my student. He was my film student, Garrett Briones. And Heidi's in the other room. She says, I keep hearing you knocking Jane Austen from the other room, and I'm going to keep doing it.
It's
and
I'll do
it
in the room. Yeah,
it's easy to do. She's not very happy. She showed me in an emoji. Okay, so here's Garrett, my former film student, who is now a Geekscape contributor. Garrett, sorry you had to sit through that, but
I'm
I'm so happy
to be that. I get brought in after the Merkin talk. That's exactly how I pictured my Geekscape debut. I laying awake at night thinking, how will I debut? And I get brought in after, yeah, they're pretty stinky. You know, they have a bunch of lumps, bumps. You know?
Let's be honest.
Memorable.
Any different than how I teach you film?
No. It was a great old time. 4 hours of just people talking about whatever we wanted to talk about, doing whatever.
Talking about how, like, your mom calls Jonathan Mr. London?
Oh, yeah. She probably thinks he's, like, the sweetest, right, you know, salt of the earth, which he is, too, you know.
I'm a nice guy.
And, yeah, so when I met him, you know, it was a beautiful day. You know, he was on a panel talking about how he, you know, talked to Stan, you know. Oh, well, I, you know, Kevin Smith reached out to me, and, you know, I had Stan Lee.
You did.
And I was like, this guy's pretty cool. And I went up to him. I talked to him. My mom, you know, he's very nice to my mom. She calls him Mr. London to this day.
The school parades me around because they know I'm the cool teacher.
Yeah.
They want the students to come there.
That's what we treat you as. You are the cool teacher.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't follow the rules. He does whatever he wants.
Like Mark Harmon of Summer School. Do you see how this is all tied in, Katie?
Callbacks.
When Mark Harmon comes on the show, we're going to be like the cool teachers right here. There's levels to this. Bolt T wants to know, Garrett, do you know who your father is, and is it Willem Dafoe?
You know what's weird is someone once told me I looked like James Franco, and now I'm being told I look like Willem Dafoe. People are just telling me I look like a goblin, but I'll take it. I'll take Willem. I love Willem.
Garrett's something of a scientist himself, guys. I am. You will find that
like
out.
A podcaster myself.
You know, Garrett, there, you know, several students that I've had over the years have been a part of Geekscape here and there, like Gui Pereira, who's in Brazil right now. I talked to him over the weekend. He just finished his second film. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved having you as a student. I like the students. I like all my students, but the students who can speak on the geek level, I got to admit, they have a little bit of a
edge.
There's like a shorthand, yeah. Right? If I have to explain something to them, I can go into geek speak to explain it to them. And I think that helps.
I remember one of my film professors was talking about like just story arc and whatnot. And we were talking about A New Hope. And I was like banging back and forth questions and just like, okay, so like at this point, is this the act two break or whatever? And you're like, yeah. And then the entire class was completely lost. And I'm like, how are you lost on Star Wars? I mean, it makes sense.
It's, at that point, it may have been the movie that most human beings on this planet have ever seen. Yeah. So, like, what are you?
That's the exact example my teacher, Jack Weinstein, who did screenwriting, I think that was the exact example he used was A New Hope because he figured everyone had seen it. And it worked out. Everyone knew what he was talking about.
Well, I think when people talk about like every time anybody writes about the hero's journey, it's usually like the picture in the captions is probably Luke on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Without doubt, that's always like the whole hero's journey, Joseph Campbell example. Yeah. And we talked last week or the week before, I think we talked 2 weeks ago, Katie, about the idea of like the hero's journey being a very male thing about a guy having to accumulate and come from nothing. And then we talked 2 weeks ago about how the female hero's journey is an acknowledgement of, hey, I've already been a badass. Yeah. So like, yeah, just acknowledge me as a badass. And that was eye opening. I try to like acknowledge the hero's journey stuff and all that classical thing. It's best to subvert it. I just think the formulaic stuff that, you know, who knows, maybe to my detriment, but you know, Garrett is a former film student, he's a filmmaker, and he's been helping around Geekscape. He's been making videos, writing cool stuff, and you've seen him in the comments every week, so thanks for jumping in, dude. Like, oh, Christina went to fight Black Kazanthan and Kersantan, and I was like, that evil Wookiee, and I was like, well, we need somebody to jump in, let's get Garrett.
I could not, because I saw his name spelled before I actually knew what his name was. And I was like, how on earth?
I have been reading that name for 6 years, and I didn't know until 2 weeks ago how to say it. I've never, anytime I've ever tried to tell someone about him, I always say his name is Black Curse. He's just a really cool Wookiee, okay? Like, I don't know how.
When Ming-Na finally said Black Chrysanthemum, I was like, oh. Okay. Last episode. The other one. Garrett, who wrote that first Vader series that we read?
That was Kieran Gillen.
So Kieran Gillen was on Twitter, and he was just like, he loves that this character he created 6 years ago for the Darth Vader comic is finally getting like acknowledgement because he's in the Boba Fett series. And he wrote that in the original scripts, he didn't have the name for him. And he called him Nubaka. Like, he knew he wanted to make a new Wookiee. He knew he was going to introduce him, but he called him Nubaka. It's pretty smart. Pretty funny. That was a placeholder name.
Fair.
So if you want to call him Nubaka Geekscapist, go for it.
I love Nubaka so hard.
Yeah. Nubaka's pretty good. Big Yanks, who you might have seen in the new Geekscape intro, singing with me on a escalator, said, Nubaka. I'm stealing the punchline. Yeah, no, it's Kieran Gillen's stuff. He's a good writer. So Garrett, how's the transition post-graduation been?
It's been interesting. I previously lived about 3 hours up north. So I'm here in LA. I'm in a brand new apartment. That's why it might be a little echoey. But I previously am from a very small town called Porterville, California. Most people haven't heard of it. And so, you know, after college, I was ready to take on Hollywood, and I was, you know, about over 100 miles away from it, working at just a retail store to save up money. But now I am here with my girlfriend, who is an editor, and my best friend, Jack Watson. He is coming from Utah. He is also an editor. He went to CCH. He and I were the duo of CCH. Everyone, you know, we walked down the halls, everyone was fanned, that a thing? You know, huh?
That college had two hallways, by the way.
Yes, it did. And they were so small you had to scream. They were so small that you had to scream points as loudly as you could so you didn't ram someone with a cart. I almost can't tell you how many times I almost got pinned in.
Those are the rules. Yes. If you're carrying equipment, you have to yell points.
That is on set. I would do it as obnoxiously as I could. It was always a good time. I would rather be obnoxious and not hit someone. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, do it. Do it. So, Garrett, you're out here. Matt Kelly's already recruited you to start making videos for the Geekscape channel. And yeah, we should get you on. You have your own podcast you want to do one day.
Matt Kelly and I are working on getting that onto the network. It's called Masters of the Media. I actually co-host it with Jack. And we kind of, you know, similar to the show, we just pick a topic, whether it's a movie, a comic, a TV game. And we are really, Jack's a little cynical boy. I always want to talk about the positives. There's 1,000 places you can go to have people, you know, nitpick and go detail by detail of what doesn't work. But I like to focus on the filmmaking aspects that work, the character arcs that worked, what hits us, you know, things like that. And we've had a great time doing it. And Matt Kelly really enjoyed it, and he recruited us. We already are making videos. Jack and I write the videos, and I do the script and I narrate it, and then Jack edits them, and we've been having a lot of fun. We have one coming out next month, and we're just trying to stake our claim in the, you know, the Geekscape extended universe, you know.
So yeah, what are you going to call Garrettscape? What are you going to call that? Garrettscape.
I'm my own niche. You know, we have our own little subgenre.
We love you, man. Big Yanks has already said Garrett is my type of guy.
Thank you.
And to clarify Bold T's question of Jack, who, another former student of mine, who is going to be Garrett's roommate as soon as he moves to LA. So yeah, come on in. I don't know, it's fun. I think that anybody who celebrates this kind of stuff should has a place in Geekscape. I tried to make that opening intro video as encompassing as possible, like have a little bit of video games, male, female, all sorts of stuff, like some aliens in there, some robots, like, you know, Geekscape's for everybody. It's all fun. But we did notice, we did mention, we've been talking about Book of Boba Fett, like, kind of, we've been mentioning it. Why don't we just talk about that episode that just came out, episode 3. Geekscape, if you haven't watched it yet, I don't think we're going to spoil too much. There's seven episodes in the season. We're talking about episode 3. Mm. What did y'all think? Because this is an episode that started to become a little bit divisive with the fan base.
Yeah, it's it's interesting. I mean, it felt almost like a tonal shift that I wasn't quite ready for. I thought it was cool, like, that we've got bionic people. I mean, that it's, you know, that's used throughout the entire Star Wars universe, but like these were like specific like punk kids.
Yeah,
felt very
I mean, Luke has, you know, yeah, Vader got his, has yeah. a bunch of these Everybody people does, have yeah. bionic. Robotic stuff, yeah.
But it's interesting to like see a gang that's like specifically this kind of group of people. It's interesting. I wasn't huge on the bikes. I I thought they were a little bright. It felt like the Power Rangers showed up after all of this like very dusty, dirty Tatooine like experience that we've had, like these very muted colors and then these very bright things. That's like, this is a different generation of kid.
Oh, and okay. They had almost like a 50s like yeah. rocket style to them. And
yeah.
my friend Zach Morissette, if you find him on Instagram, folks, go look up Zach Morissette's artwork. He likes to not only doodle, he's great. He's at a lot of artist alleys here in LA at comic conventions, but he also does a lot of Photoshop. And he took Pee Wee Herman from Pee Wee's Big Adventure and put him in the bike gang. And I had to like look closely to notice the difference because it fits so well in there. And that received a lot of criticism. And was it my favorite? I think everything that Katie said is warranted. Like, it does feel like a tone shift to have these brighter characters in this kind of muted crime underbelly storyline. But I think what's really alarming to me as a fan is, okay, Star Wars isn't ours. Like, let's just face it. Star Wars is, you know, it's for the entire fan base. And if you're going to like knock something for having 50s and 60s influences, you're knocking all of Star Wars, because yeah. that's what that is. Yeah. And George Lucas has put that stuff in episode 2 with the diner scene. Like, there's been lots of 50s and 60s influences. Those are things that George Lucas celebrated throughout. And to have them show up here, yes, it felt a little out of character for what we've seen in the Boba Fett series or seen from Tatooine period, but you know what? Let's see where it goes. Yeah. I think that's how you have to take a lot of this stuff, especially in the serialized stuff that we're getting a lot of right now. It's like, okay, we'll see where it goes. You didn't like one of the episodes of Hawkeye? We'll see where it goes. Because everybody seemed to enjoy it by the end.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. But yeah, no, and I thought it was, I feel like I would really love to be a Favreau friend, because I feel like Favreau has all of his buddies in these, and I'm like, I could be your friend in the Star Wars universe here.
Well, what would you play, Katie?
Oh gosh, maybe another Rancor Wrangler. I could be a Danny Trejo, right? Like, I fit the build. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Danny Trejo looks like so fit. What happened there?
he works out, man. Like, dude. Yeah, that's one of the things we got in this episode. We got a brand new Rancor to fill the empty pit that's in Jabba's palace, and
he's been hopping in that Bacta tank. He's been you know.
Yeah.
Dude, he's in that Bacta tank. There were a couple things in this episode that I enjoyed. I like the surprise. First off, we'd been talking on the show about the back and forth between the earlier stuff that takes place with the Tusken Raiders and the stuff that takes place in the quote unquote modern day, which is after Return of the Jedi and after Mandalorian season 2. And there's been a disbalance a little bit between that stuff. It seems like it's going to get settled here. We still don't know in the modern day what he's taking from that prequel or from that earlier flashback storyline, the narrative. Mm. But it definitely progressed more. We started to find out that, you know, he's been a sucker, and the bike gang back then is, you know, is somebody that he's going to have to take care of. We haven't seen him do that yet. We're probably going to have to see him do that. And it might be like how he sees his power on Tatooine, or at least gets, I don't know, Slave One back, right, his armor back. There's a lot of stuff we haven't seen him do yet.
It is interesting. The other thing I liked was, it feels like I'm watching two seasons at the same time.
Yes. But here we have Chrysanthemum like yank you out of it. Yeah. And then he fights you. You know, and I like that. I love the twin huts. And I got to say, I like Danny Trejo showing up with a new Rancor and being the Rancor trainer, because it's a Robert Rodriguez thing. You got to have Danny Trejo show up.
Right, right. Well, and I think it's interesting. We kind of get more of an emotional understanding of a Rancor itself, which is really interesting, mm-hmm. and like how it imprints on humans. And I thought that detail was actually something like really cool. That I was like, mm-hmm. oh, that's something that I would actually be interested in knowing more about, like this creature and everything around it.
Yeah. What were your thoughts, Garrett? Like, people were pretty hard on this episode, yeah. and they seemed really misinformed.
Well, you know, speaking to the kind of tonal shift, and you even mentioned it, like, you know, something like Attack of the Clones has the 50s diner in it, but, you know, I'm a young lad, but I remember back when people didn't like the prequels and they weren't, you know, hailed as the greatest thing ever.
They still don't.
According to the internet, people, they're the greatest thing. As I love the prequels for what they are. I love the sequel trilogy. I love the original trilogy. I love all of it. And if you look at something like Attack of the Clones, which, you know, in revisionist history, everyone loves now, there's, you know, in the second act, you have like Anakin Skywalker murdering, you know, slaughtering Tusken Raiders. And then we cut to, you know, a Flash Gordon, you know, battle the big monsters in the third act. Like, these tonal shifts have always been there. That's just inherent in the DNA of Star Wars. You know, when you're pulling from inspirations of samurai films, Flash Gordon, you're going to get these. Some of it is not going to always gel with one another. I think that's something that is to Star Wars' benefit, that it is such a wide universe and it feels so lived in, because, you know, the culture where I'm living right now is different than the, you know, the culture in my small hometown. Things are jarring. They're different. There's new generations. Like, I didn't mind I thought some of the blocking was kind of off on the thing. I wonder if a lot of it is
the chase scene.
I wonder how. I think sometimes the limitations of the volume is shown. You know, the volume, what they shoot, Boba Fett and Mandalorian. And I think sometimes it could be a tad bit limiting, just because they're working with only so much relative space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What Garrett's talking about is that virtual background that they're using to shoot, that they've used for Mandalorian, and it's an incredible piece of technology.
Really,
you're shooting these giant.
Yes.
And you kind of miss the Matrix freeway when you are trying to do a chase sequence.
Exactly.
And you can't. I thought that the biggest drawback for me on that last chase sequence was them trying to create the sense of speed.
Yes.
Yeah, it felt like the frame rates felt off in comparison. It was like the background wasn't really matching the like foreground's mm-hmm. speed, right, or vice versa. I'm not really sure what it was.
They were able to do it with the train.
Yeah.
The train looked like amazing. Yeah. In episode two. So mm-hmm. it is what it is. I'm actually excited to see where it goes. One piece of criticism of the Boba Fett series that I thought actually had a little bit of it made sense. I don't think that we should negate the ability to tell new stories in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
But somebody said, this is the first Star Wars where we haven't seen space travel, other planets, or
Jedi
the
powers.
Scope.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of just stuck on Tatooine, and that's a warranted argument in that this is the one that feels, as far as the scope of the universe, it has the smallest. You're in this kind of back end desert planet. Things are either coming to you or we're not going to see them. We don't have space travel. We don't have the discovery of new things, new planets. Mandalorian, there was a new planet almost every episode, and it felt like it had massive scope. We don't have that here, but this is a much more personal story, to which some people on the internet are. This one went viral. The guy who said that Boba Fett should be like the Punisher and this should be R-rated.
Oh, right.
Like, where are my titties and blood and Boba Fett? It's like, what?
I mean, it's pretty violent to begin with. I've actually been kind of shocked that like Disney has let them go as far with some of these like boba hits. Like the first time he brought
Katie
his thing,
calls this, what did you say, this is like just a series of head trauma.
Oh yeah, no, it's like just the head trauma of the show, because his he gets hit in the head so many times. He gets thrown and his head smacks against something. He gets smacked on his head, someone whacks him upside the head. Like I don't understand how his skull is that tough.
Yeah, I don't. My response is, I'm sorry that this piece of media marketed and made for a teenage and young audience isn't hitting all the check marks of being R-rated. It should not be R-rated. It shouldn't be R-rated. And I think we learned that when we see some. I mean, there's a place for R-rated content. I think DC has done that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Peacemaker here in a bit. I love the Suicide Squad that James Gunn did. I love Peacemaker now on HBO Max, but that can exist in the same universe as Superman. That's just not going to come from Disney. Mm-mm. And oh, Matt Kelly just added another podcast network. There's the siren. All right, Matt Kelly, congratulations. We now have 38,000 shows. I don't think we can argue that Star Wars should ever be R-rated. It's for
I don't think that's in its DNA. It's just that's never, I don't think, you know, I don't think that's ever something George Lucas ever wanted it to be. And I know there is a certain level of grit and to the Star Wars universe, but to say, I mean, like, I love the let me rephrase this. I like the Punisher a lot. I think some people misunderstand the point of that character. For people to say like,
oh, yeah,
X character should be like the Punisher to kind of insinuate that, you know, being a psychopathic murderer makes you a badass. I think there's too many people that completely misunderstand what that is supposed to be. And if the Boba Fett show was just him, seven episodes of him just murdering people, sure, would it look cool visually? Maybe, yeah. But, you know, what's the point? Is like, I don't see how you could just want that. I don't. There's fan films that do that, you know, and they're great, but some of them are,
some of them are concept
technically impressive.
Yes.
But they're also 7 minutes long.
Yes. There's different, like, 7 minutes versus seven episodes is very different.
Yeah. If you're going to watch 7 episodes of Boba Fett just murdering people and flame throwing people, it's like, hey, that'd be fun for an episode, but
right.
You'd feel pretty sick by the end of it. Bolte has a good point. A lot of that stuff with Marvel, the Marvel Max line did not have one good series. He says, I think that the Punisher stuff that Ennis did was good. And you know, if we segue into Peacemaker, I feel like Peacemaker and HBO Max feels like a Garth Ennis series, maybe more so than The Boys does. Like Peacemaker is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You've watched the first episode. Garrett, you've watched all three?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a fun series. And
I love it.
The opening title sequence. For this.
Won't skip it.
Love it.
I will never skip the opening title sequence.
I was watching it. I was like, is this happening or am I tripping right now? amazing. That one kind of took me off guard because I knew that it was like, you know, an HBO style, like fun, wacky one. I have not seen the latest Suicide Squad. So, yeah.
There's shots of it.
I saw. Yeah.
Well, it's just great. It caught you up, and which I think is, a lot of surprises was, that are in that.
I don't think I'm going to watch it. Just because I'm like,
no, Katie.
I've heard.
Watch it.
I've heard.
No, please watch James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. It is so much fun, and it has my favorite quote unquote DC villain in it.
Okay.
Is it a villain or is it just a? I don't know if it's a villain. It's just
the villain,
a parasitic. It's just a parasitic space force that ended up on Earth and just wants to procreate and like be have friends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, like please watch The Suicide Squad. And I think it's the best. No offense to like the fans of their previous Harley Quinn iterations, but I think that this is the best Harley Quinn that we've seen on film. She's awesome in The Suicide Squad.
Good to know.
The Suicide Squad is really fun. You should watch it.
Okay. Katie.
It'll really give you an appreciation for the character turn that he does in Peacemaker, because especially as you go into episode 2 and 3, there's a sadness to the character and a rising self-awareness to the character that
which
I think
brought up,
started in Suicide Squad.
the female character that we kind of follow in the beginning here, Danielle Brown, I forget what her character's name is, but she's a phenomenal actress, and I was so excited to see her in this. If you haven't seen
From
it before,
Orange is the New Black?
Yes, and also
yeah,
like
she's awesome.
Several like other great, like so many great shows. And she's one of those actresses that like since Orange is the New Black, she's like popped up in like several like random things, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad, like keep using her because she's a phenomenal actress. Juilliard, right? She went to Juilliard.
I'm not sure, but the whole cast clicks. I think the things to celebrate here are James Gunn's scripts.
Yeah,
it's not forced dialogue. It's fun dialogue. It moves the story along. And
it's
the,
witty.
This I started to think about the individual episodes because in Book of Boba Fett, each episode has like a bit of a narrative to it. And you get that even when you have these binge viewable shows and these serialized shows, you still have like, oh, that's the episode where they tackle this. Mm-hmm. This does feel like a multi-part long movie because mm-hmm. by the end of the first episode, you only have the introduction of the problem. You don't necessarily have the resolution of what the storyline for that episode was. It's going to lead to the next couple. So I think when you look at Peacemaker, it's just going to look like a different structure. It's going to look like I don't know how many episodes we get, but it's going to look like a multi-part long film. And that's its thing. And I'm loving it. But again, go back to The Suicide Squad and watch it because the level of self-awareness that he's gaining in having to work with other people and doing things right that he didn't do right in reflection that happened in The Suicide Squad, I think is a nice arc.
Okay.
But you got to watch The Suicide Squad to kind of get where it started. Are you with me on that one, Garrett?
I definitely agree. That film, coming out of that movie, my favorite character was Peacemaker. I have a big fascination with John Cena. I've had it for a while because of stuff that happened in my choir high school days.
What happened?
I mean, you're a big wrestling fan, but what happened there?
Well, before I became a wrestling fan when I was 17 years old. Before that, a year prior, I was in choir in my high school. I was in the chamber and the concert choir. Okay. And every year we have this event called, it's called Heartland, where we go to this kind of like cabin, sort of like wooded area. The whole choir goes. It's like a team building experience. It's amazing. Some of the best times of my life. And they have this open mic night where you can sing anything. And I got one of my buddies and I said, we're going to sing. Because at the time it was when the John Cena, you know, meme was becoming a big thing. The big prank call. That was the big thing. And so I was like, we're going to sing John Cena's theme. The time is now in front of it. We did a whole elaborate thing where we had John Cena t-shirts underneath that my friend Dylan made. We sounded awful. We sounded awful because we were rushed. We just had so much energy. And I'm a pretty okay singer. I mean, I was in two choirs, so I'm pretty okay.
Okay.
And it was the last performance of the night, stole the show. People forever associated me with John Cena. I'm pretty sure it's a thing that got me the choir president status a few months later. And so I've always just had a fascination with him. Then he was kind of my gateway into watching professional wrestling. I fell in love, haven't looked back since. And what I like about John Cena is I think his role as Peacemaker, I think so far has been his best acting role because every wrestler turned actor has their sort of niche. You know, Batista is a character actor and he was originally supposed to be Peacemaker. The Rock is inherently has that movie star quality where maybe he isn't necessarily diving fully into a character, but he just has that it that you want to watch. And
yeah, tons of charisma.
And Cena has really, you know, he's come up with he's found this comedy sort of niche where he kind of plays against type. And what I thought worked really well in The Suicide Squad was that whole movie just makes you think he's a joke. He's a joke. He's a joke. Oh, he's deadly, but he's inherently he's a big dumb goof.
He's dumb.
Yeah. And there's in the third act, there's a twist. Like there is a to steal a wrestling term, there's a heel turn where he becomes the most threatening in a movie that has like a 50-foot starfish. He becomes the most threatening thing in the movie because he's just this person that is so into the idea of nationalism and the greater good, and he it's the scariest John Cena has ever been on screen. And what I was so excited about, you know, from the end of that movie to where we start now is this sort of, maybe it's a redemption arc, but this idea that he took the life of someone who was inherently a good man, and how can he say he's a hero? You know, he shoots down the idea that, oh, I'm not a supervillain, I'm a superhero. How can you call yourself a superhero? and someone that protects the righteousness of your country when you murdered a man who was doing something that was inherently good. And I think Cena is playing that so well that it is funny, but there is just an undercurrent of sadness to everything he does. And you kind of get the sense he wants to make amends, but he kind of is just
doesn't have the tools.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do. He inherently doesn't know, especially because his dad's a dirt bag. Yeah. He doesn't know.
Oh, his dad's actually an amalgamation of two DC villains. Like you find out later on, like what his dad's based on, and they're kind of taking two different DC villains and they're kind of mushing them together into this, into who his father is. None of them are big villains. Like you get some great characters in this series from the DC universe, like Vigilante. You're going to love in the second episode, Katie, second and third episode, Vigilante is going to become maybe your favorite character. And then in the third episode, you get Judo Master. I mean, these are twerps in the DC universe, like Peacemaker. These are the biggest dorks in the DC universe. And James Gunn is taking them on a redemption journey. And they're so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Again, the scripts are just incredible. And he's directing every episode. And I think he's directing them all in a really great way.
I think he only did. He didn't do all of them. He wrote all of them, but he didn't direct everyone. He did like five, okay. I think.
Yeah. Five no, I've seen his writing directing credit on at least the first.
At least the first three, yes.
The first three, yeah. So let's see. Bolt T says, I like this, Garrett. Now I want to watch Suicide Squad 2. We can call it that. And Peacemaker. Jim Paganelli, he's got his priorities there. He says, question for the group. Will Peacemaker and Hardcore bang at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
At some point. Okay. Never mind. Mm-hmm. I feel... Derek Carnival says, probably. I feel like it's hard to see him as anybody but just John Cena, which makes every one of his roles so much more entertaining. He's great. Yeah, and my brother who worked with John in the WWE said John is such a good dude. And he said John and Batista were both great dudes who were always buying the lunch and being good dudes. So
I think the juxtaposition, because he is so inherently now tied to his WWE character, who is he's basically Superman in jorts. He's positioned as like an American hero, all American, you know, the best guy ever.
Right.
He won't turn evil. And I think that, and also
what's his name in The Boys? Like he's not like,
no, yeah, he's not Homelander.
But Homelander, but he's got this like, Pepe the Frog loving kind exactly. of personality. Yeah.
And I think being Peacemaker, I think that when you see him with that in mind, I think it creates a great juxtaposition. And yeah, he seems like an all around great guy. He has the most Make-A-Wish fulfillments of anybody on the planet. He has done like, I think over 500.
He's just, that's cool.
That's incredible.
I think we're talking about John Cena and not
Homelander or Peacemaker.
So speaking of superheroes, we're supposed to get this Moon Knight trailer for the next Disney Plus series. I get the rumor is that maybe Moon Knight is hitting Disney Plus on March 30th, which would probably make it the next. I'm guessing we wrap up Book of Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Usually they go like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then they hit us with the next Marvel or the next Disney series or Star Wars series. Moon Knight, March 30th, that might give us enough time for one other series to slip in there. Would it be She-Hulk? I don't think that would be Andor or what we got. It might be Miss Marvel, but I don't think it would be Andor or
Marvels, but I don't know. I feel
or
like
the other Star Wars series based on Obi-Wan.
Right, that would be exciting. I would love to see She-Hulk because Tatiana Maslany is just one of my all-time favorite actresses, and she's so amazing. And I've heard so much about this, and we just had that one glimpse, and I'm wanting is just like a trailer, just some any kind of storyline, anything. I would love to see.
We haven't had a trailer for Ms. Marvel.
We haven't had
a trailer for She-Hulk.
We had a teaser, didn't we?
Here's what's coming
to
Disney Plus.
But
we also got a little bit of the Moon Knight in this. And Moon Knight, like people call it sometimes Marvel's Batman. I disagree. I think that the mental problems has a lot of a character role in this. Like Mark Spector is insane, and Mark Spector has issues with realize. Like he doesn't know what is real and what isn't, and so when he starts to get influenced by an ancient Egyptian god Khonsu and it tells him to become Moon Knight. I think that we have this character who doesn't know why they're doing the things that they're doing or if they're even in control. He's playing insane. I'm glad that, you know, we have an actor who's awesome playing him. But he's not my favorite Marvel character. There's no like definitive run of
will probably be not a clue.
Ethan Hawke plays the villain. There's no definitive real Moon Knight storyline where I'm like, oh, that's the one they should base the story on. Okay. We'll just see what happens. Maybe Disney delayed the trailer because it's MLK Day and maybe having like a dude running around in a white hood isn't the best idea for a trailer launch.
You know?
But who knows?
Didn't think about that.
Yeah, no. Guys, maybe we shouldn't bring this trailer out quite yet.
That being said, I know Ian's been texting me all day. Where the hell is this trailer?
He's a busy during guy. Football too, which guy. Is like,
Bolt T also says, hey, how do you introduce Moon Knight before Werewolf by Night? Well, they already introduced Werewolf by Night. Did you not watch Raimi's Spider-Man 2? We had the astronaut who goes off and becomes.
Well, you're thinking of Man-Wolf.
Oh, I'm talking about Man-Wolf. My bad.
J. Jonah Jameson Jr. 4 J's.
Deduct 7 points from Jonathan's score. Thank you. Daniel Campuzano. Don't worry, Garrett Scapes here. He's picking up the slack. Big Ink says Moon Knight should be rated R.
He did rip off someone's face and in one of his most recent runs. So.
You know, if we're dealing with mental health, why not make it rated R?
Yeah, do a little, you know, he's like a chimpanzee. He just rips your face off.
Oh, shit.
Good Lord.
Is that what that is? Is a face ripper offer? Is that what that
Yeah. I don't know who Ethan Hawke plays in the series, but I've heard they're going to start introducing like biggies, quote unquote biggies into the Marvel universe.
They're going
like,
to bring Biggie in?
Biggie.
No, I'm like, well, Ian sends me these articles from these comic book websites, and
I've written for some Mr. of them, Kerner. And they're
not—they're so bad. Yeah, these articles are so bad, and I'm like, why is a grown man sending this to me? And Jim Pagnoli, thank you so much. He says John Jameson is Man-Wolf, Jack Russell is Werewolf by night, like a Jack Russell Terrier. And yes, please to a show about that character.
They are doing something about
Ian. Sent me one where he's like, oh, the villain is going to be the Hood. It's like, oh, in the comic book website's like a major Marvel villain. Let me just go ahead and tell you, the Hood is not a major Marvel character. They've tried multiple times to make him like the biggest crime boss. And it's like, stop with the Hood.
It just keeps reminding me of Abed's thing with the cape where in Community, where he's just like, bring back the cape.
I think Ethan Hawke's going to play Mephisto.
Oh, okay. No, that joking. Makes sense. That checks out.
Don't start with us.
Start
I hope they never
start with us, master of the media. We know your game.
I hope they never do Mephisto now because I care less about him now.
I truly think that they're bringing in a dark, strange, and doing like a mashup. So it's not exactly Mephisto, but I feel like Doctor Strange is going to have some kind of Mephisto.
You're talking about like Strange Prime in Mountains of Madness or whatever it's called. Multiverse of Madness. Mountains of Madness is the Guillermo del Toro movie that never got off the ground with James Cameron attached.
There's a bunch of giant rats.
The Multiverse of Madness. So I was trying to explain to somebody everything that they're going to introduce in Multiverse of Madness. It was our good friend Dan. He listens to the show. And he comments sometimes in here, and he was texting me over Facebook Messenger yesterday, and he was saying that basically every unintroduced Marvel character that was in part of one of the Fox movies, like Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, and this and that, were all going to show up in Multiverse of Madness. And I said, just stop it. It was some website.
Did you
some
hear the
Marvel fanboy website?
Well, that was one of the things that they were predicting.
That was just full of garbage. No, they were like, Dolph Lundgren's Punisher is going to be in Multiverse of Madness. Tom and I was like, Jane. Shut up. They were like, Tom Jane Punisher was on the list.
For grace.
And I just had to stop him and be everyone. Like, listen, dude, stop going to these asinine websites where it's just this clickbait garbage.
There was a rumor that Ben Affleck got asked to come back as Daredevil, and I saw that and I thought, this man has literally said that being Batman broke him, and you think he's gonna as much as I love Daredevil 2003, you think that man is going to put the red leather back on for I can't? Mm-mm. No, mm-mm. No.
But Colin Farrell on the other hand. No, I'm kidding. I think the rumor I've heard, Geekscapist, this is a rumor about your Multiverse of Madness, is that introduction of the Illuminati, and that we'll actually get Reed Richards and a possible Xavier introduced in some flash of the Illuminati, who are like all the good guys, smart people of the Marvel Universe working together to try and guide the Marvel Universe. And that, of course, includes like Tony Stark, who's not going to be in the Illuminati, Doctor Strange, Xavier, Reed Richards, Black Bolt of the Inhumans, and T'Challa and Namor. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get a couple of them.
There's a couple people we're going to be missing in that one, but
a couple people we're going to be missing. But I don't think the Illuminati stuff is silly.
Yeah. Bolt maybe thesis, the biggest retcon of yes, all time.
That would be Namor. Yeah. Matt Kelly says, I heard Multiverse of Madness will include the 1990 Captain America and the 1994 Roger Corman Fantastic Four. Well, if you don't get it in Multiverse of Madness, Geekscape, is go back in the Geekscape feed, and I had the entire cast of the Roger Corman Fantastic Four on this here podcast. So that's there for you if you don't get your fix on that one. I don't know, Garrett. You're the master of the media. I'm just.
Can we start a rumor on here? Can we have said like
absolutely
Geekscape exclusive? I heard we Joe quit. Manganiello is coming back. December. It's Flash Thompson.
Joe Manganiello should come back.
He's coming back as Flash Thompson. You heard it here first. Act three. He
can
shows
only
up.
Punch.
He can not as Venom. Not as Venom or you know.
No, like no. Flash Thompson. He can
like,
only
really
slow motion.
Just predicting this, and like we're just like that is so funny.
Kevin Feige is going to find me. He's going to find me because I leaked
this. What if this is part of his turning things into reality for him? Right, like this is like him part of his journaling and stuff. Manifesting. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so
you're
going to
end up working for The Simpsons and start predicting.
I love how I'm just making fun of like all this geek content, but it's really just some kid like trying to make a buck on clickbait. And he's like, "Stop it! I have to write these things." He's chained to a radiator in some basement somewhere. And he has to write these. Stupid
I'll tell you
clickbait
exactly.
Articles.
It's like they give you a prompt, and they're like, "Write as much as you can," and you have to hit like a word minimum. And it's like you're like. Buffering for like just letters and number like
you know who runs that web you know who runs that website Katie Mephisto that because that is hell
no I know
that is
no
hell.
I know and you get pennies on the dollar because it's like it's amount of clicks that you get that's how much you get paid. I think I made like 90 cents hell. From like three articles at one point and I was like yeah maybe not.
That's how much Shane has made on Ethereum by grinding on one of his computers.
That's how much Shane has made from his
Shane's been mining
NFTs.
Ethereum. He's like there's gold in those NFT hills and the crypto hills, and he's mining Ethereum with one of his computers in Alaska. He's probably made 90 cents in the last 2 years on Ethereum, and he's like, oh yeah, it's a decimal of a decimal of a decimal. It's going to be great. You're so positive, Garrett. Instead of just outright calling him an idiot.
Yeah, because like, Garrett is now predicting that Shane's going to be a billionaire with these NFTs.
You
know? No, like, listen, nice Garrett. Yeah, those 90 cents, a lot of it went to his power bill for mining that stuff. He paid $90 towards his power bill to make 90 cents of Ethereum. And Bolt, he's like, hashtag boomer alert. This isn't hashtag boomer alert. This is hashtag I'm not falling for a stupid Ponzi scheme alert. There, that's that.
When's the Geekscape boomer. NFT coming out?
Yeah, we're waiting for it, man. Yeah, I think we
might have been discussed earlier today. Isn't that right, Katie? It actually was. But we'll just have to wait until April 1st for that one. Matt Kelly is in the comments like spilling his show into our show. No, Matt, listen, if you want to subscribe to Horror Movie Night Geekscapism and find out what Matt thought of Scream, he liked it. Just go ahead and subscribe to it because he's over here just having a conversation in the comments like, Scream was fantastic. My thoughts will be on YouTube next week. Then stop. Save it.
I like it. It's like a little squirrel in Chiron. He's just like, and up next week on my podcast.
Hey, guys, over here. Listen, so when Christina went to fight Black Kyrgyzstan.
I was like,
we should get Garrett to fill in. Matt goes, I'll do it. Like, of course you'll do it. Wait, somebody left this microphone in the middle of the freeway. That's how
Matt
we're going to kill Matt
just
one day.
Mickey Mouse yeah. Now.
If we ever have, listen, you know how like Batman had files on the entire Justice League? That's what I have. If I ever have to take out a Geekscape, I've had that from the beginning. If I ever have to take out anybody at Geekscape, I know exactly how to do it because I know their weaknesses. Matt Kelly is easy. I take a microphone, put it on a stand, I'm going to put it in the middle of traffic. And sooner or later, Matt's going to be like, hey, look, there's an open mic stand. And he's going to walk out there and try and start a podcast. Next thing you know, Mack truck, boom, he's done. You think I'm not the Batman of Geek? You think I'm the Captain America of Geekscape? No, my friends, I'm the Batman. I know how to take them all out right here. Yep. So, Katie, enjoying those cats you're feeding, because pretty soon you will be feeding those cats. How long do you think she's been dead? Where's the other cat? It crawls out of her mouth. Yep, that's a. You know what are they gonna see? You know what that's gonna happen? NCIS with Mark Harmon. It's all coming together. Yep, it's all there. And Matt Kelly does want to say, "Hey, Geekscape, if you're watching this live, do make sure to watch his Daria video. It's a half hour." This week on Geekscape TV, he's been busting his butt for this Daria video. So please watch it. Matt also says, that's a great Matt Kelly impersonation. I just wasn't aware I sounded like Little Billy. Yeah. Well. <There's that. laughs> I don't know. All right. Let's wrap this up because it's become abusive at this point to do a show this long. Garrett, anything you want us to like take away? Where can we follow you on the social media?
You can follow me on Instagram, Garrett Briones, and on Twitter, Garrett S. Briones. My show, Masters of the Media, should be coming back in a few weeks once Jack gets here. And it will be on one of the 38 podcasts on the Geekscape Network. And also, myself and Jack are working. We're working for Matt Kelly. He's our YouTube boss. We're pumping out videos. So we have a video coming out next month on Netflix's Daredevil. And then we'll have another one coming in March. We are still working on that one as well. But yeah, you can just find me on Geekscape, you know, trying to take over, make it Garrettscape, rebuild it in my That's beautiful fine. Image. And yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think Geekscape is okay with that too. After having you on, dude, I think they're like, yeah, when is Jonathan going to go the fuck away?
Put him out that
old man needs to retire. He needs to retire. And then let's get Garrett up on here and start up the NFTscape and let's get him going. Let's get the Garrettscape going. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Katie, where can we find you?
You can find me in most places, mostly on Fortnite this week because work's a little bit slower and it's okay. But I am at L Sassy Pants, ELSASSYPANTS. Unless it's TikTok, then it's with a Z.
Someone said some things they weren't supposed to say.
Nope. Someone showed some things they weren't supposed to show. Not me. My fiance. Anyway.
Your subscribers just exploded. You know where we can find you? NCIS. Mark Harmon, hopefully you come on a future episode of Geekscape. You know where to find us. Geekscape TV on the YouTube and on the Twitch. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Geekscape. You'll find our groups. You'll find our pages. You'll find all that stuff. You'll find people to talk to. We're on Instagram and Twitter and all that. So just search for Geekscape. I'm Jonathan Lennon, your host. I hope you've enjoyed this. We'll be back next week. And yeah, Geekscape forever. Don't hate, create. All that nice stuff. That really nice stuff. Okay. Cool. Derek just said 38 podcasts. Did we lose a bunch?
Yeah, a couple dropped
out. And Matt says, I'm quitting Geekscape to work for the Garrettscape. Well, good.
I think we all are.
He'll be slightly less abusive than I am. Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.